555. Ellie Campbell Marr is a mother of two and one of the organisers of this protest. Good morning to you, Ellie.
Hello, Jonathan.
Good morning. So, listening to Rosie calling in there, saying that, you know, there's nothing wrong with testing children, what's your problem?
Well, I was just interested to hear Rosie's experience and how that contrasts what goes on in much of Europe. My nephew at the moment is living in Hungary. He's about to turn 7 this month, and he's still at kindergarten. He's still there part-time. He's enjoying a play-based curriculum. He's not due to start school until he turns 7, and that's the case in a lot of continental countries. It's very unusual that in Britain we have our children in full-time schooling from the age of 4.
Yes, but you look at many other countries around the world and children start even younger than that.
No, that's not true. I, as far as I understand, I think the United Kingdom has children starting school earlier than other countries in almost the entire rest of the world.
You sure? So all those schools in China and in the Philippines and in parts of the world that are still considered to be developing countries, you believe that the children start school later?
5 or 6, I think, is more common, and 7 in some countries, yes.
Ultimately, though, should we not hang our heads in shame in this country that there are so many people leaving school unable to read and write? I mean, let me just give you a personal experience, Ellie. Because of the job that I do, I get quite a lot of people contacting me who finish school who want a job. They want a job in the radio. And I get letters and I get emails. I can honestly say that the vast, vast majority of young people who contact me and my programme asking to come and do some experience on the show or wanting to have a job, they don't even know how to write a letter. They don't know how to set out a letter. The spelling is dreadful. The grammar is absolutely dreadful. Some emails that come in make absolutely no sense whatsoever. And these are young people who have gone through years and years of education in this country. Now, if someone finishes their education completely incapable of writing just a simple letter to say, can I possibly come and do some experience on your show? Shouldn't we as a country be very, very, very concerned about that? And isn't the government quite right then to try and identify those that are having difficulty with reading and writing at a young age so that they can be given extra assistance?
I would agree that it's obviously a good writing and mathematical and communication skills are really important. And I think it's important to have high standards and to stretch children, absolutely. But the protest today is about SATs at infant level, at key stage one level, for children who are 6 or 7. And I really feel that at that age, the most important thing is to switch them onto learning, to make them enthusiastic about school, to give them a really broad curriculum, to inspire them, you know, to get that love of learning first. Before we're really narrowing down to the maths and English, putting pressure on them to pass exams and sit tests, and narrowing their curriculum so that it's focused on grammar and punctuation and spelling and mathematical reasoning very narrowly at the expense of more enjoyable, more creative learning opportunities and at the expense of other parts of their education, such as sport and art and acting and more practical skills.
So you're one of the organisers of this protest today.
I'm not one of the organisers of the national protest. I'm part of a group of mums who are having a local protest as part of the national campaign.
And have you taken your children out of school today?
I have 2 children. One is 3, one is 5. So my eldest is just in reception at the moment. She's at school this morning and I'm collecting her this afternoon to join our local picnic and protest, yes.
Right, so you're taking her out of school early?
Yes.
And what ultimately does that achieve?
Well, I think I wouldn't be here talking to you this morning if this protest wasn't going on today. Teachers and parents have been writing letters, signing petitions, trying to get through to the government, trying to make their voices heard in their thousands, and the government are just riding roughshod over them, that those voices aren't being heard. And I think if you look at the coverage of the National Head Teachers Conference this weekend, you can really see how head teachers feel they're not being listened to by the government and by the Education Secretary. Taking action today isn't something I do lightly. I think it's a last resort. It's quite an extreme measure. But it is attracting coverage and making the headlines in a way that signing petitions and writing letters is never ever going to do?
I don't think there's ever been an education secretary that has existed, certainly in my lifetime, that teachers and head teachers have liked and respected. I mean, every single education secretary, teachers, given the opportunity, will criticise and boo and say they don't understand, they don't listen to us. I mean, it just seems to be an ongoing war between the teaching profession and the members of government that make the decisions.
I think there's possibly some truth in that, but I do get the impression that things have reached a new level this year. There have been fiascos upon fiascos, as well as this controversy over the SATs. There was a muck-up over a baseline assessment for reception pupils recently. Then there was the spelling and grammar test that was published online accidentally. Then there were the absolutely shambolic accounts that were published late by the Department for Education. Then there were the announcements about the forced academisation programme, and that this is now facing mass opposition, not just from a lot of schools, but even from Tory councils. And I feel, with two children right at the start of their education systems, that it's a really worrying time, and that teachers and parents aren't being listened to, which is why I felt today that I had this opportunity to make my voice heard and to take a stand, and I wanted to do that.
Good to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time. Ellie Campbell-Marr is a mother of two.